Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gor in the Dorim Daf Nun Aleph. We're learning tonight Lili Nishmas Doris Rats, Devora Masha Mazdov Bear. We pick up the Gemara 5 lines from the top, Nun Aleph Omud Aleph. Amalei Bar Kapora Liberate de Rebbe. Bar Kapora tells the daughter of Rebbe, Lemachar, tomorrow, Shasin al Chamra, I will drink wine, Virikuda de Avuch, Ubiakir Kone de Imoch. I will drink wine tomorrow, and your father, the great Rebbe, is going to be dancing in front of me. And Kirkane de Imach, the way Duran translates this is Shatei Imach Mikarkeres Umzameris. Your mother's going to be making these sounds known as Mikarkeres Umzameris. Duran understands this as making certain types of singing types of sounds that would normally be forbidden. In this situation, doesn't explain why it's not forbidden. The Ben Yad has an extremely interesting understanding here. He says this is the source of the custom, and it comes actually from the time that Lavan tricked Yaakov Avinu into marrying Leah and not Rachel, which we just read in the Torah. So the people in the background of that wedding were doing something called ululation. Leah, 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 they were singing, which la 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 la, which is a sound that you see the Sephardi women today making at Sumachot amongst the Sephardim. So he says this all started from Leah's marriage to Yaakov Avinu. And this was the Mekarkeres, the Ben Yehuda says, that Rebbe's wife was going to be doing at this chasana of Rebbe's daughter. So again, a fascinating insight from the Ben Yoyada. That's the way the Ran is understanding the Mikarkeres. The Rosh actually has the Girsa that's exactly the opposite. The Rosh has the Girsa, and you can see this in Dibra Maschel, Birikuda the Imach, that your mother will be dancing, Ubikirkane Davuch, and your father will be the one that will be singing. Shati Imach Mirakedes Lefonai, Bar Kapara said, your mother's going to be dancing in front of me, and your father is going to be the one that's going to be singing. Therefore, there's no problem with Kol Isha. The Mefarish has a totally different understanding. He says, "Bikir kane diimech" means bizmizigasa, that your mother, shiimech, timzogliko, she's going to dilute a cup. Their wines were concentrated, and they would have either a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1 dilution with water, and that's what it means, mikarkeris. In any event, that's what Bar Kapara said to the daughter of Rebbe, that at the wedding of your brother tomorrow, this is going to happen. Now, Ben Elasa, Chasne de Rebbe Hava. There was a person, some suggest he was a Talmud Chacham, others say he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, he was a very rich man, and we'll see the proof of that towards the end of the story. He was the son-in-law, Chasne de Rebbe Hava, and Va'asher Gadol Hava, and he was a very wealthy person. Asmne Levehi Lula de Rebbe Shimon Berebbe, and he was at the wedding of Rebbe Shimon. That was the story that we talked about yesterday, the wedding of Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe. In any event, that's the simple understanding of this. Others suggest it was a different wedding, but let's leave it like that for now. Amalei Bar Kaparlu Rebbe, so Bar Kapara, who was subsequently invited to that event, says to Rebbe at the wedding, "My toeva." What does the word in the pasuk when it tells us "V'isha sheyishkab ezachar mishkevei isha toeva asu shneim"? Rechmonu Litzlan, people commit the sin of homosexuality, so that is a toeva. The Torah tells us and Shneyem mos yumasu dimeim bam. The Torah provides capital punishment for such a crime, of course, only under the proper asra and only under the auspices of a beis din. This is not applicable today in terms of beis din doesn't have the ability to give capital punishments today. So this is what Bar Kapara asks Rebbe, what does the word toeva in this pasuk mean? So Rebbe gives him a response, called the Amalei Rebbe, but every response that Rebbe gave, dohachainu toeva, that he would explain that this is what the word toeva means. Parcha Bar Kapara. He would kashi it. He would give a pircha to it. He would shlug it up and say, no, that's not what it means. Nu, finally, somewhat exasperated, Rebbe says, nu, amalei, parshayat. So you tell me what it means. If all of my explanations you're slugging up, so what do you, Bar Kapara, say this means? So amalei. So Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, first, teise devischi, tir mili natla. Have your wife come and pour me a cup of wine. In other words, let her go and be, like the Mefarish said, that mizigasa, that she should go and dilute the wine for me, and I will drink it. So also Ramilay. So she did that. So Rebbe's wife comes and dilutes the cup of wine for Bar Kapara, who drinks it, Mustama. Amalele Rebbe, then he says to Rebbe, Kub, I want you to get up and recodely and go and dance with me. Damaloch, before I tell you the answer to your question. No, it's a chasna, it's a very lively and fun event, so Rebbe does so. The Mefarshim also mentioned that Rebbe was so interested in knowing the Torah, so it wasn't considered to him a bizoyan of any sense that he would be dancing at the wedding to go and get the answer to this Kara question. No, ultimately, Bar Kapara gives him the answer. He says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means when he says Toeva. What does the word Toeva mean? Toeva is Toe Ato Ba. As the Mefarish says over here, this to'eva is klomar sheminiach es ishto shalheter. You're leaving a permissible relationship with a woman, with a wife, v'tofa zu shelznus, and instead you're having a relation with a man, which is, of course, an iser. And that's what the Ran says as well. Toa atoba sheminiach mishkevei isha v'olechech zocher. Instead of having relations with a woman, you're having relations with a man. That's what it means. Toa, you're making a mistake. You're going off the derech. No. He wanted another cup of wine. So Amalei, so Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, because he wants the same thing to happen, that Rebbe's wife will go give him another cup of wine. So he goes and asks Rebbe, Ma Teva. What does the word Teva mean in the following pasuk? He says, V'chol behema lo siten shechofticha l'tama va, v'isha lo samo d'fnei behema l'riva tevelhu. The act of bestiality, what does it mean when it calls it an act of tevel? So Amalei Kinyona Kadmo. So Rebbe gave multiple answers to Bar Kapara, which Bar Kapara shlugged up. Same thing has happened before. That's what it means. Everything happened Kinyona Kadmo. And now Amalei, so Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, no, even leave the Amalei, do for me exactly what I said before. Have your wife go fill me up a cup of wine, dilute it for me, and you go dance. All that Rebbe again, so interested in finding out the Torah, so Rebbe did it again. Now Bar Kapara tells him, Amalei, what does the word Tevel mean? Tevel who? Tavlin Yeshba. The Ran says this is a lashon of bismia. Does it make any sense in this relationship that you should go and have relations with an animal? Is there any enjoyment, so to say? Is there any spice? Is there any tavlin in such a relationship? As the Mefari says, Klomer Yesh Beviyazu Tam Bi Beachrus Shemanechas Bala Binirvas Lebehemta. Does it make any sense that she should leave her husband and have relations with this animal? Doesn't make any sense. That's why Tevel Hu doesn't have tavlin to it. And that's what the Gemara says. So why are you having relations with an animal? It's so unnatural. It's so crazy. When you can have relations with a person, why do you want to have relations with an animal? Tevel hu. Furthermore, Amalei, Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, what does the word zima mean? Umay zima. In the pasuk, al techalal es bitcho las nosa, v'lo sizne ha'aretz, umolo ha'aretz zima. What does the word zima mean? So, Mestama, all the same thing happened again. Amalei, Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, Ivit ki inyona kadmo, Ovad. So he went and did it. So he told Rebbe, have your wife fill me up a glass of wine, dilute it, and you go dance. And he did it, Ovad. So Rebbe did it, Vamalei. And then Bar Kapara told him, what does Zima mean? Zu mahi. As the Ran says, Loshen Sofik, Sheni Adua, Mimihi Misaber. It's this woman who never had relations with other people, so we don't know who the father of the child is. So Zima means Zu mahi. Who is this child? Lineage. Where does this child come from? Who is the father of this child? Now, this was a very strange event, and Ben Elasa, who was the son-in-law of Rebbe, couldn't tolerate it. Yol Yochel Ben Elasa Limispal, as the Mefarish says, he was a very rich person. Therefore, he couldn't take the Zilusa of Rebbe. Also, Zilusa Shel Rebbe, the Fisher Asher Gadol, he was a very wealthy person and wasn't used to being in such a situation where a wealthy person was put down. And he wasn't able to tolerate, so to say, the way Rebbe was being treated by Karpara. And kam v'nafaku v'intasei mitamon. And therefore, he and Rebbe's daughter, right, Ben Elasa is the son-in-law of Rebbe, so he and his wife, Rebbe's daughter, left from over there. Again, very difficult to understand. With our understanding from the Shvus Yaakov from yesterday, one can suggest, again, that Rebbe was a very, very a solemn person for the reasons that we mentioned in yesterday's shir, and Bar Kapara was just trying to lighten up his mood at the simcha of his child, and therefore that's mistama why Bar Kapara was doing what he did. In any event, who was this son-in-law of Rebbe? My Ben Elasa. So what does that mean, my Ben Elasa? So the Mefarish explains, Klomer minayin duhava usher. How do we know that he was such a wealthy person? And that's why the Mefarish said he couldn't tolerate seeing the way that Rebbe was being embarrassed over here. So the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, lo luchinam pizer Ben Elasa esma osav. Ben Elasa didn't just squander away his money. He spent it on a very, very special thing to show the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. El laharos ben tisporis shel Kohen Gadol. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that a Kohen Gadol had to take a haircut every week, and that he would take a very, very special type of a haircut. Kohen had to take a haircut every month, the Melech took a haircut every day, and the Kohen Gadol took a haircut every week. And he wanted to demonstrate, to show people what this haircut was like, which was a very expensive haircut, so he purchased this haircut, so to say. He hired barbers to go and do on him this haircut. And this way, all of the rabbanim will be able to see what this haircut was. So, laharos ben tisporish kohen gadol. Dersiv is the pasuk that we have. And Yecheskel says, kosom yichsimu es roshehim. The end of Yecheskel tells us what will be in the third Beis Hamikdash, and it talks about the Kohanim there, and it's really referring to the Kohen Gadol, that he has to cut his hair in a certain type of way. And Tana, we learned in the Braisa that this type of way is called Ke'ein Lulonios, that this is the type of haircut that's called Lulyonis. Now, my Lulyonis, what does this mean? So Rav Yehuda tells us, Tisparta Yichidosa. It's a very, very beautiful haircut. As the Ran says in the Hebrew Amaschel, Tisparta Yichidosa, Tisporis Noe. It's a very, very beautiful haircut. And the Mefarish adds, Shein Kamosa. There is no other haircut that is like this. So it's a very, very special and beautiful type of haircut. And Echidomi, what exactly did this haircut look like? So Amar Rav, Rav said, Rosho Shoseh, Bitsadi Koro Shoseh. That each hair was individually cut so that the top of the hair reached the root of the next hair, and the next hair then reached the root of the next hair. So you didn't have any hair overlapping one on the other, and this is V'hainu Tisparishal Kohen Gadol. This is the way the Kohen Gadol had his hair cut. Now we quote the Mishnah again. It says, U'bidalas harimutza. We said in the Mishnah that if a person said, Konim tavshil sheni tom, if a person says, I'm not going to eat tavshil, I'm not going to eat certain types of cooked foods, so he's only not allowed to eat things that are made to eat with bread, like they're very loose and thin and runny, as opposed to very thick stuff. And it likewise said he would be allowed to, if he made an isser on eating a tavshil, he would be mutter b'besa turmuta, and also ubedalas harimutza. So that's what our Gemara is now asking. What is this dalas harimutza? My dalas harimutza. Amr Shmuel, Shmuel says, kara karkuzoi, that this is a type of a gourd. Kra is a type of a gourd known that came from a place called karkuzoi. That's what the Ran says. Karkuzoi is shem mekoman. So Shmuel says this was a certain type of a gourd that came from the place known as karkuzoi. Ravashi disagreed. Ravashi amar delas hatmuna beremetz. This was a delas. It could be any generic type of a delas, not necessarily a specific gourd, not a specific kra, that they used to go and bake it or cook it in hot ashes. That's what it means, beremetz. Now, Ravashi is going to be questioned. Esvei Ravina, Ravashi, Ravina questions Ravashi, and he says, Rav Nechemia Omer, Rav Nechemia taught us that Dalas Aromis is the same thing he, Dalas HaMitzris. Dalas Aromis is the same thing as Dalas Mitzris. And therefore, these two are the same thing, but you're not allowed to go and grow them with something known as Yevonis, a Dalas Yevonis. So it would be Kilayim to grow it together. Im HaYevonis with a Dalas Yevonis would not be allowed. And that would likewise be Kilayim im HaRemutza. It would also be Kilayim with Remutza, which implies that Remutza is the name of a place, as the Mefarish says, Deluin shall also Makom. Shena Misbashlin Liolm Yofa. They don't grow very well. They don't mature very well. And that would all be Kilayim. In other words, these are all different types of gourds. And the reason why it was called the harimutza was mistama. In order to make it somewhat edible, they would have to go and put it in hot ashes. But that's not why it is harimutza. Harimutza doesn't mean that any gourd that's made in hot ashes. It's just that those delas that came from this area, bezdavka, and they needed to be made in order to be edible with hot ashes. So clearly you see that Ravashi is incorrect. The Gemara says, Taka, that's right, Tiyufta de Ravashi. Now here we have a very, very unusual and strange thing. If you look in our Gemara, it says Mishnah, like it's a new Mastisim. You look in Oz Beis and the Hagos Vitzionim, it tells us that there's a plea. Ki klal ha-mishnah ha-lozu kvar shnuya b'mishnah delel amim tesam analip. Essentially, this Mishnah is being repeated over here. It's like somebody copied and pasted the Mishnah on Memtes and Medalip and put it over here again, almost as is, with only very, very slight variations that don't really have any halachic importance to them. And therefore, Dagos Tzion says, "Ubar Karchach Tos Isrami B'Mishna Dele'el V'Kamishna Mesuda Hacha." So he says it really shouldn't have been over there. This is its logical place, and therefore, when we read it on Memtesum and Aleph, it really didn't belong over there. And he says, "V'Chaynira Mitoch Pirush Ran." And this seems to be from the Ran that's found over here, and the Ran was not found on the Mishnah. This seems to be the best way to understand this. In any event, we'll read the Mishnah again now that we have over here. Hanodim Maisa Kedera. If a person says, I ask myself to go and eat Maisa Kedera, so Eno also Elomi Maisa Risachta. He's only not allowed to eat foods that have been boiled many, many, many times. Omar, if he says, Konim Hayored the Kedera Sheni Toim, if he says, I ask myself to eat something that goes into a Kedera, so then also Bechol Anasa Kedera. Then he's not allowed to eat anything that goes into this Kedera. Anything that went into this Kedera is also to him if it was cooked inside this Kedera. Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa, Hanoder min hayored likdera. The Braisa says if a person makes an Isra Hano on himself, he's making a nether that he's not allowed to eat anything that hayored likdera goes into the Zikadera, so Asr biyored l'ilfas. He's also not allowed to eat something that goes into an ilfas. Now, the difference between a kadera, that's usually called a pot, and an ilfas is lapan. So, as the Ran explains, things that normally went into a pan were previously put into a pot. As the Ran says, "Dibavasu shvar yor likdera kachiyad darkun b'maisi ofis shayum rasichin oso bikdera resicha kala." First, they would go and put it in hot water. They would scald it first inside the pot, and only afterwards would they put it into the pan. So, therefore, hanod b'yor likdera osur b'yor liofis shikvar yorad likdera. That was the normal way for them to go and cook something in a pan. They first would go and scald it or cook it inside a pot. However, the other way around, the opposite. If he asks himself for eating something in an ilfas, so his mutter, if it only went b'yore likdera. And the Ran explains that the chiddush over here is, wouldn't it be obvious? So kamash v'lan, the lo tema that you shouldn't say, kol shirisichu oso risicha kala. Anytime that you put it into the pot for this risicha kala, and then in the Hagos Yisino Osvav, he says, Kidei Shiyeri Lufa, so that it is the purpose of that, is to eventually go into the pan. So you might have thought that's Yored Le'ilfas Mikri, that even though it's in the pot, the Kideira, the whole purpose of that is to put it into the ilfas, Mibeshu Muchan Lekach, so you might have thought, Avabishadayin Lo Yered, Kamash Melon Dilo. You might have thought that that should be Aser. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is, if you said, I'm asking myself to go and have stuff that went into the ilfas, so your mutter, even when it went into the Kedera, until it goes into the Ophis. Likewise, the Braisa continues and says, the word Nasa, the Ran tells us, is called here the word Nasa means it has to be finished. The Lashon of Nasa, it's finished. That's what it means. So therefore, if it's not finished, then it's not also. So if something has to be finished in the Kedera, so it's more to Benasa Bilfas, even if it's made in the Ilfas, so then it doesn't ruin it, because that's not how it's finished. And likewise, Benasa Bilfas, if you say something should be finished in the Ilfas, that should be also to you, so Muta Benasa Bikdera. It's Muta if it was only made in the Kedera and it wasn't finished in the Ilfas. Gemara continues and says, I know the minayori litanur, if a person makes a nether, that he won't eat something that went into a tanur. Now that normally means bread. So therefore, ain osur el bapas. The normal usage over here, hayored litanur, means bread. However, if he says, v'im omar, call my sitanur alai, anything that goes into the tanur is going to be osur to me, so then that would include everything else as well. Also, b'chol anasi b'tanur. That would include anything that was made in the tanur, no matter what. So that concludes this little sugya. Now we turn to Nun Aleph and Beis. We will discuss another Mishnah with similar ideas. The Mishnah begins, Min HaKovush. If a person says, I ask myself, I'm having Hanoh from Kovush, HaKovush. The Hey HaYidia here is critically important. As the Ran tells us, the Kivan in Dibra Masu Kovush, so he says, the Kivan Sheskiru below Hey, in the next part he's going to say, you didn't have the Hey HaYidia, so therefore the din is going to be different. So then, call Kovush B'mashma, without the Hey HaYidia, it implies anything Kovush. But the first part is, Min HaKovush, HaKovush, the Kovush is talking about a specific type of Kovush food. Kovush is something that is like preserved, something that is pickled. So Kovush is something that you only aser in this situation, Yerek. So when a person says min hakovush means the things that you preserve, that you pickle, and also ela min hakovush shoyerek, it's talking about vegetables, because that's the normal, definitive use of kovush. However, if he says kovush shani toem, others of the gear says she'eni toem, so then that implies every type of kovush thing, not only the kovush of yerek, but also bechol hakivushim. You would be forbidden to have benefit from anything that was pickled, anything that was preserved. Similarly, if he says min ha shaluk, something that is, again, we pointed out earlier, shaluk could mean either undercooked or partially cooked, or other mefarshim, other rishonim, other dav said it meant that it was overcooked, it was like stewed. So if a person says, I ask myself from ha shaluk, the definitive type of shaluk, so in also elamin ha shaluk shabasar, that usually is a reference meaning basar. Because as we pointed out many, many times, the nedarim, you go after lashon b'nei adam, and this is what most people mean when they say the shaluk item, ha shaluk, with the hey ayidia. So in that situation, it means basar. But if he says shaluk she'ani or she'eni toev, if he's talking about shaluk in general, so then also b'chol ha-shaluk, he'd be also in anything that was shaluk. So now the Gemara starts and asks, Amalei Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avya l'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avya asks Rav Ashi, well, we taught the din of ha-shaluk, and we taught the din of, if you don't use the term ha. You don't have the heidia, but what about if you use something that's somewhat in between the generic kavush and the kavush? So, for example, if you said omar de kavush, my, if you use the lashon of de kavush, so, or if he says de sholik, my, or he says de tzoli, my, so does that mean like hey heidia only that? Or does it mean the more generic application that would include anything that was kavush or shaluk or tzoli? That's the Gemara's question. Or if he says demoliach, if he says something that's salted, does he mean hamoliach, the definitive salted thing, or all general salted things? Heichin mashma, what is included in that? The Gemara leaves us as neboy de lo shitale tiboye, which is the equivalent of teku. Wait till Eliyahu comes, and then we'll get the answer. Our Gemara doesn't answer it. Tiboye. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. If a person says, I ask myself, min hatzoli, he asks himself for meaning roasted. So again, hatzoli, that implies a specific roasted item. So ein aser ela min hatzoli, shel basar. Again, this implies basar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But if he says the more generic term, tzoli, shani toim, or she'eni toim, if he says roast, I will not eat, so then that implies to all roasted items, also chol hatzluyim. Again, very much alike the previous Mishnah. Then he says, min ha-moliach. He says, ha moliach. I ask myself to eat the salted item. So that refers to fish. Ein aser ela min ha-moliach shel dog. That's a reference to fish. But if he says the generic term, moliach, any type of moliach, she'eni toim, so in that situation, is also b'chol ha-meluchim, will be also in anything that is salted. Then the Mishnah tells us something new. It says, if he uses a lashon of dog, dogim, she'eni toim, he says, the singular word dog or the plural word dogim. In English, technically, the word fish is both singular and plural, but many times people say fishes. But technically, the English word for dog and dogim is the same. It's fish. Fish is both singular and plural. But I'll, for practical purpose, so you'll know what I'm talking about, we'll use the somewhat incorrect lashon of fishes. Although I think that's already become acceptable to say, so it may no longer be technically wrong to even say in English fishes. So, if a person says, I ask myself to eat fish, or fish is, then I ask myself to eat, shani toim, she'eni toim, so then, aser, so the person is forbidden to go and eat, bahem, ben gedolim, ben ketanim, either large fish or small fish. Dog implies large fish, dogim implies smaller fish. As the Ran says, libra maslo, dog, dogim, mishum do'amar tre lishne, dog, dogim, since he said both of them, dog and dogim, he didn't say one or the other, he said both of them, that implies the dog, when he used the first term, fish, mashma gadol, a big, single fish, mishum dinimkar b'fneatzo, it's sold by itself, you sell an entire large white fish, so that entire thing is a dog. As opposed to if you sell a bunch of sardines, you sell a bunch of smaller little fish, the dog in mashma ketanim, several fish, little tiny ones, they're all sold together. So you talk about selling sardines, for example, there are a whole bunch of them together, as opposed to a big white fish, so that would be sold by itself. So that's the lashon over here. If he says dog and dogim, she'ani toim, so then he's also in both the large or the small, gedolim ben ketanim. This also includes bein meluchim, bein tefelim, whether they're salted or whether they're not salted. Tefelim means without salt. And the Mishnah continues, it says this also would include bein chayim, whether they're, now chayim doesn't mean here live, it means that they're raw, it's sushi, it's uncooked, bein mevushalim, or whether it's cooked. In all of these situations, the fish is aser. If he says dog, dogim. However, in this situation, he is permitted, because he only said dog, dogim, he is permitted, mutar, bitoris trufa, ubitzir, ubimorius. That's what the Bach adds. So what are these items? So the first item that we said here is called tris trufa, which Tosos explains is min dog godo shechotchin v'torfin oso. The best that I can imagine, this is something like a tuna fish, where you have a big fish, and then you chop it up, and you have something that's chopped up fish. Below mikre, lo dog, velo dogim. This isn't called a big fish or a small fish. This is a chopped up fish, and therefore, it is permitted, even though we ask himself to have dog and doga. And Tosus explains, why is it included in dog and doga? Because it has a separate name, tris trufa, chopped up fish over here, and therefore, yeshlem shem bifnei atzmum, and it's not included. Now, he also tells us that there's a foreign language word for tris, which is tunina belaz, and I don't know if that really means tuna fish, but certainly it sounds like that's this general description that we're talking about. And he adds, the Tosos, the Yesh B'Farshim, shel kach mutu b'tris, shel niskabin ela b'dogim shleimen. When he said dog and dogim, he meant entire whole fish, whether they're large or small, and not chopped up in this way. By the way, Rashi in Iov defines tefelim as davar shehu bli melech, something without salt. V'tzarech lamlicho, and it requires salt. V'lo nimlach, and it hasn't yet been salted. That's called beloshon of the Mishnah, tofel or tefelim. Likewise, this person is mutter b'tzir. The tzir is like the brine, the fish brine. As Tosel says, apple pea, shakir be dogim mirovimbo, even though the innards of the fish are mixed in with that brine, nevertheless, it is not considered something that is dog or dogim, and that's why it's mutter in this nether. And Tosel says, vein tzarech lomar morius, which is like the juices that come out from the fish, shembo elo shuman dogim, that only has like the schmaltz of the fish, that doesn't have any real pieces of fish in it, and therefore that certainly would not be included in the nether of dog and dogim. And the Ran says essentially the same idea, and so does the Mefarish. And the Ran says this is a style which we have many times. Vizu, the ain't tzarech lomar zuk tani. I'm telling you that the tris and the brine, the tzir, are permitted, and certainly the morius. I don't even have to tell you that, but we'll tell it to you anyway. Maybe that's why the original Girs over here didn't have the morius, and only the Bach is the one that adds it. But it seems that all the Rishonim on the Daf had that as well. The Mishnah continues and says, "Hano d'mina tzachana." What is tzachana? So the Rabbi Dibra Maskel says that tzachana and "Hano d'mina tzachana" also betris trufa is tzachana's dogim kitanim harbi meluchim. It's a lot of little small fish that are very well salted. V'yesh men trufin el shirub shleimah. Some of them are chopped up, but most of them are still intact. Uktani the kivin sheyesh men trufin also, since some of them are intact, even though some of them are chopped up, they're all considered usr. So the Mishnah tells us, if you make a neder not to eat tzachana, usr b'tris trufa. You're also not allowed to eat the tris trufa, these chopped up fish, because included in the tzachana are some chopped up fish. So therefore, it's usr in tris trufa. However, umutur b'tzir ubimorius. But you are in this situation also still allowed to have the fish brine and the fish juices, because they aren't included in tzachana. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, I know there be tris trufa. If you make the neder that you're not going to have the tris trufa, the chopped up fish, like the tuna fish, so then the girsa that we have is osir. But the Hagos Vitsiyunim, he brings down that the correct girsa over here should be mutter, and he says that is the girsa of the Ran here as well. So if you ask yourself, according to this girsa that the Ran has from tris trufa, you are permitted still in tzir, the fish brine, and the murius, the fish juices, because that's not the same thing as chopped fish. Okay, start the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Tainu, we learn the following brayser. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, dog sha'ani toim. If a person says, I ask myself to eat dog, with just the word dog, not dog and dogim. So also bigdolim, as we pointed out, dog implies a single fish, a large fish, and therefore a person isn't allowed to eat the large fish, also bigdolim, but umut bigtan, would you be allowed to have the sardines, the multiple small little fish? If you were to say, I ask myself in dog ga, which we said in the Mishnah, dogim, but here he uses the lashon of dog ga, shani toim, he asks himself to eat dog ga, so also bigtanim, dog ga is similar to the Mishnah's usage of dogim. So the Braisa says that doga implies a lot of small little fish, and therefore you'll be also in those, but only also biktanim. When mutter bigdolim, you'd be allowed to have the big white fish. You'd be allowed to have the big single fish. If he says dog doga, like our Mishnah, shani toim, so then also bigdolim, biktanim. So the last part, dog doga, is similar to dog dogim in the Mishnah. Dog meaning large, doga meaning small, and the dinim are similar to what we said in the Mishnah in this Braisa. But the Gemara questions this and says, "Amalei Rapopoli Abayim, Mimai the dog Shani Toim Godlu." Where do you see this lashon? The dog implies a large fish. If you're telling me the Siv Vayeman Hashem dog Godol of Loas Yona, from the famous story of Yona being swallowed up by this large fish, a whale, whether it was a whale or a fish, the Vilna Gaon says that dog can be used not only for fish, but it can be used for anything swimming in the water. So it can even include mammals like a whale. So in Yonah, it says that Yonah was swallowed up by this large dog. So if you're telling me that must have been a large animal, a large fish, this dog, so therefore, it also says, "V'yispal Yonah l'Hashem elokav mimei hadogah." So it also uses the same terminology, dog god, though, to define this large fish. So how can you tell me dog means a large fish, dog means a small fish? Yonah was swallowed up by a large fish. One time it's called a dog, one time it's called a doga. Interestingly, I believe it's the name of Vilna Gaon as well, that he says, first time it was a male fish, and the second time it was a female fish that was a pregnant female fish, which I'll explain in a moment. In any event, The question that we have right now, the Rapapa says to Abaye, how can you tell me dog means large and doggo means small? Here by Yonah, seems both of them are large. So one says, holo kash, that's not a problem. Because Dilma, palti dog gadol. First, the dog that swallowed Yonah was a large dog. And then he spit him out, palti dog gadol. And then, vale dog katan. And a smaller fish then swallowed him up. Now, some suggest that this smaller fish wasn't a smaller fish, but it was a female fish, and that originally Yonah didn't daven inside this large cavity inside the fish because he was comfortable there, so he didn't daven. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he was spit out by the male fish and swallowed by a pregnant female fish, and all the little baby fish that are growing inside this mother fish were pressing against Yonah. Oh, all of a sudden he started to daven because he was under a lot more difficulty in that situation. In any event, so it could be two different fish over here, and Lav Dafka, that they were both large fish, the Gemara says that therefore is not a stira to have one time being swallowed by a dog and one time being swallowed by a dog. We're still not happy. The Gemara says, what are you telling me? Ella, v'hadogo asher bayor mesa. We find by the Makos in Mitzrayim that it says that all the dogo asher bayor mesa. Does that mean only the small fish? Kitani mesu, udolom lo mesu? All the fish died, right? The water turned to blood. None of them could survive in the blood water. So therefore, doga clearly doesn't mean only small fish. It means large fish as well. So again, Akash, how can you tell me in the Braisa, dog means large, and doga means small. So Gemara says, you're right. From the Chumash, you can't tell anything. But by Nedarim, we go after the Losh of Bnei Adam. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela doga in Chumash, mashma gedolim, umashma ketanim. The word doga has no specific connotation to be large or small. It could mean both. However, that's by Chumash, and we don't go by Nedarim by the Torah. We go by Loshem B'nei Adam. O B'Nedarim Holach Acha Loshem B'nei Adam, and therefore, that's why in the vernacular usage, a person says dog, he means a large fish. If he says doga or dogim, he means multiple small little fish. Okay, then we go to the last part of the Mishnah. We quote, Hanodu bin Atzachano v'chule. So we said, in this situation, the Tzachano is a bunch of these small little fish, some of them chopped, some of them whole. So Gemara says, Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. What happens if the person says, Amar, Harei Olai Tzichin, Mai. What is included in Tzichin? Do we say that this also includes just Tzichin alone, and not the Murius and not the Tzir? Or here, maybe it does include the Murius and the Tzir. That's the Gemara's question. As the Ran clearly says, the Ramaskal, Omar Halei Arei Tzichin, Mai, Mi Mitzar B'Tzir B'Murius alone. Does this include the Tzir in the Murius or not? What's the Havamina? The Rishum Ha'achi, Mikru Dogim Ketanim Kevushim Tzachana. The reason why the Dogim Ketanim are called Tzachana, Ibnei Shatzir Hayosim and Reichu Nodev. They have a very foul odor that comes from them because of the brine that comes out from them, this Tzir that comes out from them. And therefore, does the word tzichin imply additionally that it includes the tzir as well as the fish or not? So that's the question over here that the Gemara is asking. And again, we leave this as an ibaya de lo shitalei tibaya teiku. We don't give the answer in our Gemara. This is a very good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.